Good morning, everyone. I'd like to first of all start by greeting you all in the precious name of the one who gives us victory in our Christian lives, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's a blessing to be here already this morning. I was really blessed by the Sunday school discussion that we have, and the importance of prayer stood out to me. You know, where is the first place we turn when we face trials and temptations in our lives? When we face battles against the enemy, do we turn to the Lord in prayer? Oh, what grief we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That's everything. For a message this morning, our theme verses is going to be found in 1 John chapter 1. But we're going to turn to Psalm 46 for an introduction, I guess you would call it, before we go into the theme verses. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 46. I've been reading through the book of Psalms for my personal devotions recently. I still am. And last week I came to chapter 46. And instantly, there was a special memory triggered in my mind, in my heart. At school, we had, I don't know how often we changed it, but we had every week, I believe. We had it every week, but whether we changed it every week, I don't remember. But we had Bible memory verses that we would study and then recite at school. And in our classroom, I don't know, there might have been 15 to 20 students. It was two grades together. And because of the size of the room, each student would take a turn to go up and stand beside the teacher's desk and recite the Bible memory. And I have that memory. I can vaguely remember standing there reciting this chapter in Psalms. And it's a special memory. Let's read these verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder, and burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This world can be pretty troublesome sometimes. We all face circumstances that are trying. And I had to think of Sister Kendra as our upper room teacher this year, and her mother just passed away. Brother Nelson just talked about this, Judy Heindel. I had to think of her and her family when I was reading these verses. We had just found out No, we found out, this was Saturday morning I read these verses. We found out Saturday afternoon that she passed away. You know, God is our refuge and strength. And as I remember reciting this memory verse at school, somehow I just remember it. I don't remember what struggles I was facing at the time. I just remember a peace that flooded my soul as I considered what these verses really mean. Maybe I was contemplating, what do boys think about when they're 12, 14 years old? What is my occupation going to be when I get older? Am I going to have a family of my own? How will I ever be able to afford to buy a house when I get older? Whatever. I don't know what it was. But there was a peace that flooded my soul when I read these verses again this past week. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help that carries the thought of here, right now. Not just in the past, not just in the future. He's here right now to help. Very present help in time of trouble. So we don't have to be afraid, even though the mountains could fall over into the sea. God is in control. There's wars and rumors of wars in Russia and Ukraine and so forth, and trouble around the world. If you follow the news, you can see it all around us. But God is our refuge and strength. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 5 to 7. First John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The title of the message is Walk in the Light. There's two small words in this little passage here that stand out to me that I want to point out first of all. The little three-letter word found in verses 5 and verse 7. The last word in verse 5 and the second to last word in verse 7. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Absolutely none. There is no darkness. The sun is bright. It's shining. We could probably turn the lights out. It's so bright outside with the snow reflecting the sunlight. But no matter how bright it is, we can find a corner somewhere in the building that's dark, that the light doesn't reach. Probably behind these closed doors, there's some darkness in there, some corners that are dark. But God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And that light refers to spiritual light. There is no darkness, no evil in God at all. We can trust in that. God will never lead us astray. And then in verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I think of the song, Lord, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. God cleanses us from all darkness, from all sin. If you look out across a field that hasn't been disturbed and the snow's laying on the ground, the sun is shining on it and it's just pure white and it's bright. No darkness at all. Can you imagine being whiter than snow? Lord, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. You know, if we look around us in the world today, as I mentioned, there is darkness, there's spiritual darkness all around us. There's people that are living in moral sin. There's governments who don't even recognize God. Truths about what is right and wrong are being twisted and challenged on every side. There's sickness and disease, there's storms and earthquakes. There's broken homes and relationships that are shattered. And if you follow the news, you get a picture of how great the darkness really is. But I'm not here this morning to just, my burden isn't just to talk about the darkness around us. In fact, I was really blessed by the bulletin last Sunday had that saying on it. It is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. Are we walking in the light, brothers and sisters? Are we shining our light for Jesus? It's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. We're going to just go through and read several verses that are in relation to this subject, and then we'll come back to these verses again towards the end of the message here. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 to 23, Jesus says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" That's a little challenging to understand. If the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? So I just looked that up, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible version. That makes it a little bit clearer and easier to understand. It says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is clear or spiritually perceptive, understanding what is right and wrong, your whole body will be full of light. You'll be benefiting from God's precepts. But if your eye is bad or spiritually blind, your whole body will be full of darkness, devoid of God's precepts. So if the very light inside you, your inner self, your heart, and your conscience, and so forth, is darkness, Jesus said, how great and terrible is that darkness? If you don't have the foundation of God's precepts in your life, you are living in darkness," is what Jesus is saying. And it's a terrible darkness. You know what it's like when it's dark on a cloudy night, especially, and the electric goes out. Suddenly you're in darkness. Everything is black. Not even the glow of the time on the microwave. It's just all black. How great is that darkness? If we don't have a clear perception or an understanding of what is right and wrong, if we don't understand who God is and how He wants us to live, we are in a terrible darkness. And if we don't know about God's love and mercy and justice and judgment, if we don't know about Jesus and the price He paid for us on Calvary, because He loves us so much, we are in a darkness that is worse than even the darkness that plagued Egypt, where they couldn't see their hand in front of their face. You know, these memories of Bible memory, children in Sunday school, we heard you recite Bible memory. It's a blessing. Those verses will come back to you in life as you get older. And it's something that I think I could improve, and I know I could improve in, is studying Bible memory, just memorizing Scripture. Because I think a lot of times, in fact, I do it often, I take for granted what I've been taught, the heritage that I have. You consider the world around us. They don't have the teachings that we had when we were younger. Are we thankful for the light that has been taught to us? Or do we take it for granted and disregard it and go after the things of the world? Are we walking in the light as He is in the light? Another verse, Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance. Again, a little different version. In the NIV version, it says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of Your throne. Unfailing love and truth walk before You as attendants. Happy are those who hear the joyful call to worship, for they will walk in the light of Your presence, Lord. A person who is walking in the light will hear the call to worship, and it will bring a joy to them. Does it bring a joy to you to be able to go to the house of God this morning? To fellowship and worship with brothers and sisters in the church? Or does the slightest sniffle in the family keep everyone at home? It's a blessing to be able to worship the Lord. Righteousness, justice, love, and truth are the foundation of God's throne, and they are central characteristics of the way God rules. They summarize God's character. And as His children who are walking in the light, we should display the same traits of righteousness, justice, love, and truth in our daily dealings with people, in our daily walk of life. Make sure your actions flow out of these principles of righteousness, justice, love, and faithfulness, because if there's anything that we're doing that's unfair or unloving or dishonest, these things cannot come from God. Recently, I was reading, and maybe some of you have read this already, a devotional meditation in Beside the Still Waters that stood out to me. I don't remember the exact details, but there was this man, he was a bit of a pessimist, and he was a farmer. And he was always one that complained about the weeds or the weather or the mud or whatever. His crops weren't good enough because of this or that. Anyways, one day he went to the scales with a load of grain. I believe it was corn. Anyways, he went to the scales and he pulls onto the scales. They take his weight. And then after he's done, he unloads. He comes back onto the scales to get the empty truck weight. And immediately he's out the door and off the scales. But when he's weighing the corn, the load up front, he's sitting in the truck the whole time. So there's a bit of a pause. And after a bit, the scales attendant comes out and he looks at him, he goes, so how much are you worth? You were in the truck when you weighed to bring the full load, but now you're off the scales. I'd say you're worth about $10.60. So he took that off his pay, I guess. Are we honest in our dealings? Are we fair? You know, when we walk in the light as He is in the light, we're a light to others, a testimony, a witness, a pointer to Jesus who is the light. Our life should cause others to have a desire to walk in the light. Is your Christian life just a burden or a drudgery? Or is it a blessing to others? Are you walking in the light? I think of Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. David says, show me Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me Thy paths. Lead me in Thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation, on thee do I wait all the day. Let's look to the Lord every day to teach us, to show us what is right, to show us the way of truth and the way of light. Another verse that we can look at is Isaiah chapter 2. In fact, I think we'll turn there. Isaiah chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 5 to 8. Isaiah 2, verses 5 through 8. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. How is it with you and I today? Do we associate too closely with the world and the ways of the world? Do we trust in our own accomplishments, the work of our own hands? When we walk in the light of the Lord, we can see our sin. We understand the error of our way and the coming judgment on our sins if we don't repent and turn away from them. You know, our natural tendency is to want to hide our sin in darkness. We try to hide it by keeping it a secret. We try to act ignorant, like we don't even know that it is sin. Or maybe we try to avoid the fact that our sin will bring consequences and judgment. We justify ourselves by blaming it on others or the circumstances that we're in. Don't try to hide sin in the back corner of your closet. The house of Jacob was following the ways of the world. They were trusting in the work of their own hands instead of the Lord. And there was judgment coming. Oh, the urgency of the call. Come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us walk in the light. You know, we don't have to worry about hiding our sins if we confess them and walk in the light. Psalm 32, verses 1 to 5 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sins are, his sin is covered. That means covered by the blood, not covered under the rug. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. He's talking about the heavy weight of guilt, of hidden sin. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Walk in the light. In John chapter 8, we can turn there as well. I'm going to read a few verses. We're going to look at we'll start with verse 12, first of all. John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This is the incident where the Pharisees were trying to pick fault with Jesus. They brought this. Jesus is in the temple early in the morning, and he's teaching the people, and the jealousy with the Pharisees was building up, and they bring this woman who was caught in the very act of adultery and say, "What shall we do with her? The law says we should stone her." And Jesus just didn't answer them at first. And then after he stooped and wrote on the ground, and they continued pestering him and asking him, and he says, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her." And then he went back to writing on the ground. I don't know what he was writing, but they were all felt convicted in their own hearts, because they knew they were not without sin. And after this was all over, they left one by one. And there's the woman standing in the midst, alone with Jesus. And when he had lifted up himself, in verse 10, saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And it continues on. He says how he is the light of the world. And the Pharisees say in verse 13, "Thou bearest record of thyself." You're saying these things about yourself, and it's not true, they said. And they were arguing back and forth through the rest of the chapter. We're not going to take the time to read every verse here, but who was in darkness in this setting? Was it the woman who was caught in the act of adultery? No, it wasn't. And why not? Why did Jesus say, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more"? Jesus can see in our hearts. And he saw in that woman's heart, I believe he saw true repentance. There was no self-denial. There was no denial of what she had done. She didn't try to justify herself. There was no self-justification. She only said, according to this passage, she only said, "No man, Lord," when Jesus asked her if anyone had condemned her. He saw true repentance. She was sorry for what she had done. And Jesus forgave her and told her to go and sin no more. Who was in darkness? It was the religious leaders and the Jews who were in darkness. Why? They couldn't accept Jesus as being the light of the world. They couldn't accept Jesus as being the Son of God. To walk in the light, we must follow Jesus as the light. Jesus must be the light in your life to walk in the light. Back to 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1 in verse 7. It says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." When we walk in the light, when our sins are openly confessed and repented of and covered by the blood, we can have an open relationship. Number one, with God, and number two, with our brothers and sisters in the church. When I first read this, that was what stood out to me. Open fellowship, one with another. I thought of it as brothers and sisters in the church. But then I was doing some more studying, and one commentary brought out that it means an open relationship with God. And it can mean both ways. But let's think about it. Our sins are in the light. They're covered by the blood. They're taken care of. We're not hiding anything in darkness. We're walking in the light. When this happens, we can have an open relationship with our Heavenly Father. When this happens, we can have open relationships with brothers and sisters in the church. We don't have to worry about saying the wrong thing to the wrong person because we're worried that someone is going to find out what we have done. When our lives are transparent or open, we can go and talk to anyone in the congregation. When we walk in the light, we don't harbor ill feelings of malice and envy. So we can have fellowship with all of our brothers and sisters. When I think of envy and pride, just this past week I was doing something with a utility knife and it slipped out of my grip and got away from me and just nicked my one knuckle. And the wound wasn't that bad, but I mustn't have cleaned it out quite right. It's getting better now, but the other day it was thumping pretty good. And it's swelled up. And it's hard to bend my finger. It's all stiff. This is how pride is. We get puffed up. And our relationships are stiff when we allow pride to rule in our lives and in our hearts. When we're envious of other people, we can't have good open relationships. When we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What a blessing. In closing, we'll turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and read a few verses there. Ephesians 5. The focus is going to be on verse 8, but I think we'll read six through eight. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Every one of us was in darkness. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But now we, as Christians, we are in the light. When we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, as Lord of our life, self has no room on the throne anymore. We're full of Jesus. That's when we are walking in the light, as He is in the light. I was blessed by the first song that we sang in the service. I think we'll take the time to read it. The Hymns of the Church, number 310. Gentle Holy Spirit, gentle Holy Spirit, bring refreshing breezes on these people gathered here today. We ask God to send His Spirit to be with us today, to bring refreshing breezes on us. Promised Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, descend upon our waiting hearts, we pray. Gentle Holy Spirit, this is the verse that really stood out to me. Quiet now each restless heart. To troubled minds, tranquility. Tender Holy Spirit, open every heart to hear you, speaking quietly. When we walk in the light, it brings a peace. It brings a sense of peace to our hearts. When we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, it quiets now our restless hearts. It brings tranquility to troubled minds. And when we open our heart, the Spirit will speak quietly, tenderly, nudging us to confess our sins, to walk in the light, to be open, and to follow Jesus. Let's kneel for prayer.